Look lively, surf world. Put your knickers on and make a cup of tea. The Surf Europe podcast is back. Your host, Paul Evans, broadcasting from Cap-Breton, southwest France. Joining me, to my north, Ben Mundy, from an undisclosed location in London's sleazy suburb of Peckham Rye. The Surf Europe podcast is back.
BBC World Service presents...
This is London.
Welcome to the Surf Europe podcast. I'm Paul Evans.
And I'm Ben Mundy.
Bloody hell, Ben. A lot's happened. Pipe Masters, world champion, Flores. What's he called? Florence. The other one, Medina. Fucking hell.
Yeah. I can tell you're fired up. Yeah, we got a new world title. Well, another world champion. He won it last year. Jeremy Flores, another Pipe Masters champion. You must have stayed up all night and watched, did you, Paul? What was your take on that final day?
Yeah, I mean, uncharacteristically, I seem to have taken my finger off the pulse and I sort of forgot it was on. And I woke up in the morning, I looked at my phone and sort of saw it. It all basically just happened.
So,
and then I thought...
The digital content surf manager of Surf Europe Factory Incorporated.
Yeah.
The whole thing completely.
Just... kind of seems like a bit of a long time that we've had to wait for that to happen. Those sort of few heats, essentially.
Have you been kind of setting your alarm every night and then eventually after 6 weeks just went...
It's been a couple...
enough of this.
2 months since Portugal wrapped up, and I guess what did John need to do? Needs to get through 5 heats. It's been quite a long time to wait to see John win 5 heats. But a little bit anticlimactic. Pretty average pipe. Brilliant result for Jeremy.
A little bit. I mean, Gabby Medina kept it interesting. At least Gabby, you know, he made it interesting for me. He kept me up. I mean, I watched it, which is more than I can say for some other experts. But I thought it was a good day of professional surfing. You know, not epic because the surf was only 4 foot, but still pretty exciting nonetheless.
Fuck this tour. Fuck the ASP.
Ben, it's time for our little look at some of the polarising events in the world of wave sliding. Tell me, what have you got that's good?
Okay, well, what's good? Surf impersonator Tyler Allen. He's sort of a blonde, long-haired, scraggly kind of guy. Does the impersonations of Donald Trump, but about surfing, and he's pretty funny. But he's done a recent one. It's on Instagram. I think it's Tyler Allen... VO, I think, is his Instagram handle, and he does a morning report. So he starts off Renato Hickles and then goes through the various surfers like Glenn Hall and Gabriel Medina, Adrian D'Souza, Kelly Slater, and it probably made me laugh, and that is pretty rare in the surf world, Paul. Someone being funny in the surf world. The surf impersonator business is not huge, but he's definitely got it covered.
Good morning, everyone. It's your friend Renato Hickel here for the morning call. For the Pipe Masters, I'm here with Kelly Slater. Kelly, well, I mean, you know, I think it's a little, you know, stormy out there, but, well, it might be a little fun to give it a call, a little, you know, paddle. What do you think, Adriana?
Well, it would be super fun, heavy to surf out there. I would have to pray to not have to duck dive to my shop in there. What do you think, Gabriel?
Yeah, it would be like pretty sick for sure, but I would want to have marshmallows to eat, have more power, like power surf out there.
Paul, have you got anything that?
I tell you what's good, Ben. Griffin Colapinto winning the Vans Triple Crown. We're going to come back and revisit the Vans Triple Crown later on in the show, but I like the fact that he won. He's a breath of fresh air. He's an amazing surfer, but I think I also quite like the fact that it sort of flies in the face of the conventional logic that you need to be some sort of wily old kind of big gun toting sunset vet to win the Triple Crown, and it's sort of all these certain type of surfers that win it, and like, I think he just kind of blew all that out of the water. So well done to Griffin.
Yeah, true, but I will say, I mean, for a guy of his young age, he's certainly putting some time over there. Like, I remember when I was over there for, I think, 2013 even, he was like first out at Pipe, and all the Billabong House was sort of always saying how he was one of these young guys, like hanging out with Seth Meneses and Josh Meneses, is a real Hawaiian kind of charger, so he's got that in him. But yeah, to go and win it, not even in Surf Pipe.
Great.
He was pretty impressive. He's the real deal, definitely the real deal.
Great name as well.
I mean, no Thomas Hermes.
Yeah, he's got a great name as well, because I think if you're going to be a pro surfer from Southern California, you need to have kind of like a standout name. You don't want to be just called sort of like John Jones, or, you know, sound like a sort of holding midfielder in the championship. You know, you need to have some kind of like pretty out there name, and he's definitely got one. So yeah. Well done to Mr. and Mrs. Colapinto for their role in that. Ben, what else have you got that's...
I recently saw a lot of surf movies. I was had the privilege, Paul, of being on the... Well, it's good that it makes you watch them. I was on the jury for the Florida Surf Film Festival, one of the preeminent surf film festivals in the world.
Never
and
heard
they
of
sent
it.
Me loads of the film, loads of films to watch. And I watched a lot, which I'll get on to. There's some good, some bad. But I think one of the good ones was the Bunker 77, which is the Bunker Spreckles documentary.
Really?
Yes.
I enjoyed it. Last year, I thought it was shit.
Why?
Just annoying. It's just like some... Just didn't think it was... A, I thought it was pretty shit at surfing. B, kind of boring. And just, I don't know, I just thought, what a load of hype over nothing. I was expecting to see some outlandish legend, but he didn't really do anything. He was just... I don't know, he's kind of just also kind of crap at surfing.
Well, no, I disagree, because I liked how Todd, I mean, his story is radical. He was, you know, obviously Clark Gable's stepson, he inherited $20 million.
Is that radical?
Yeah, the key part is it's all old footage, actual footage of him and in that time. So it was a real deal. And it did, in many ways, sort of punk that, yeah, he was this revolutionary surfer. He's surfing at Joe Bay. I mean, it was like
horrible.
Me going switchfoot.
It was horrible.
And I'm a terrible surfer, and switchfoot, I'm sort of, well, I can't do it. And he was riding a small board, which was new, but he was a bad surfer, which I quite liked that it punctuated that. I just thought it was a pretty wild story with old footage that people have been banging on about for years and years, and we finally got the truth, or, well, a pretty good version of what went down, and I thought it was compelling, Paul.
Okay, well, I mean, you're wrong, but that's fine. Yep. Okay.
Paul.
Yeah.
Have you got anything that's...
Yes, I absolutely do. I'll see your Bunker Spreckles shit, and I'll raise you Skunk Works Surf Co. They're good, Ben. Do you know what they are? They are...
Who's that?
They're board makers from Northern Ireland. They're basically making surf school boards, soft boards for surf schools. There's a lot of them around, as we know. Are they doing it in China? Are they doing it in a sweatshop with sort of no environmental regulations, with no sort of workers' or human rights? No, they're not. They're all made in
Northern Ireland.
They're all made in Northern Ireland. They're made without glue, mate. They're heat bonded, so there's none of that nasty glue. And I just think they're doing everything the right way. And as part of a commercial deal, as you've mentioned, as part of a commercial deal with Surf Europe, we tested and reviewed one. I went down to Mundaka on Monday, despite the ravages of man flu, which the surf world can probably tell from my voice. And I made a flask of turmeric, lemon and ginger tea. I took on the motorway in the Borough, and I drove down there, mate, and I surfed Mundaka. It's not a perfect empty Mundaka. It's like 1 to 2 foot and absolutely reeling. And I surfed it on my own, mate. It was wicked. Had a really good time. Stay tuned for the article on surfeuropemag.com. So yeah, Skunk Works Surf Co, mate. And I'd like to see the Northern Irish getting involved, because they've been sort of quite important in popular culture. If you think of, like, you know, Van Morrison.
I'll be sad.
Yeah, no, Van Morrison. But haven't done that much in surfing. Ben, what have you got that's...
Probably this cut deep and a cut strong, and it's, I just flicked on, you know, my normal computer or my podcast sort of range of things. I popped up and saw that Shane Dorian, my mate Shane, you know how close we are,
ex-mate, yep,
well, has started a podcast without me, which is obviously just ridiculous. But
what
B,
the fuck?
There's Nathan Webster.
Bad. You must feel.
Pro surfer in the.
You must feel so betrayed.
92,000 now successful surf businessman. But I just find that sort of collaboration just a bit strange. I mean, what next? Larry Rios and Jake Spooner? I mean, well, you know, where do we go from there? Miles Badarka and Danny Wills have got like a Christmas album out or some shit. I don't know. Todd Prestige and Keanu Downing. I don't know. I just found the whole thing unsettling. A, it's a podcast, which I've already got one. So, and you might have a few more listeners than me, Shane Doran. B, you didn't even call me.
Yeah.
But then I listened to it. And they said that they're going to, the whole point is to, interview those people in surfing that have little stories here. And their first guest was Chloe and Dino, which, don't get me wrong, I mean, surely this guy, anyway, it felt hurt. It was more of a betrayal of trust more than anything.
But is that a personal betrayal rather than a professional thing for you, was it?
Well, I'm fucking hell, man. I've got to get it out there. I've got to talk about these things, Paul.
It looks like it seems like Shane's moved on from Monday and Dorian days. That, you know, I guess you haven't, mate. But
Paul, what have you got? That
Iggy Pop and Ockie.
Whoa, you fucking better be careful. Two more heroes, buddy.
Absolute dog shit. Pretty much one of the worst days of my life is when every fucking time I looked at Facebook or Instagram, some person from the surf world is posting something about Iggy Pop on the North Shore playing a guitar with fucking Creed McTaggart. Seriously. I mean, Iggy embarrassed himself about 4 or 5 years ago. He did a car insurance ad. He did a car insurance ad in the UK. And it just, you know, was just totally embarrassing himself. But whatever.
Hey, what? Fuck off. He's just one of the greatest ever rock icons who for 40 years didn't claim a cent and put his artistic merit out there. Now he's finally getting some payback. I mean, how
yes.
could you find fault with that?
Yeah, definitely find fault. As I said, he embarrassed himself a few years ago doing a car insurance ad in the UK. But I mean, the actual Ock cast was one of the most sort of toe curlingly cringy. It was just awful. Like Ockie's questions, man. He sort of got stuck on going. How long have you lived in LA? And Iggy's like, oh, I don't live in LA. He's like, when did you first come to LA? He's like, yeah, no, just stop asking about living in LA. And then he kept going about, no, because you got surfer's hair, though. You've got surfer's hair. What the fuck?
It's a bit awkward, but the press release, now that was amazing. I mean, I don't know who wrote that, but some of the...
Well, you did. You know who wrote it. You know who wrote it because it was you.
I thought it was one of the best.
You work for Billabong. Yeah, you work for them. So I guess, you know, for you, it's just slightly conflicting. But, yeah, I just thought that was dog shit. And we had Andy Warhol, Bob Marley. I mean, seems like someone's kind of doesn't seem to have any ideas of their own. Don't they? Maybe
as you say, Paul, made a bit of a rip on the North Shore.
And maybe their punishment for that is their punishment has been bought by Quicksilver. So that's karma. Ben, what else have you got that's
Well, the rookie class of 2018, obviously the CT has been finalised, the roster for 2018. We've talked about Griffin Colapinto, who, yeah, he's the real deal, which I get. And also, I think Jaeger Dora's in there, and he's pretty epic. But
yeah, he's good.
It's the three kind of guys, Thomas Hermes, William Cardoso, and Pat Gadowskis. I think they're all over 30. I just think if those three are the answer, then what the fuck, what question are we asking right now? I just think that the QS is supposed to be a qualifying series that weeds out and fast tracks talent to the upper levels of surfing. I think those kind of three that just shows if you just actually stay on for long enough, eventually you'll get a start.
Well, Pat's already been on tour, and he's not a rookie because he's qualified a few years ago. But
I know, but he's one of the new, newly qualified surfers.
I reckon he's all right. I'm going to have to disagree with you on him.
No, I've been a bit happy because he's.
He's good.
He's brilliant. He's positive, and he's good, certainly man. A great level. But I still think that something's wrong with the system. If you know these guys are the ones that are coming through as the ones that are supposed to test.
Yeah.
And up through the top table.
Is this the same Ben Mundy that once said live on air in a broadcast to the surf world, a live webcast, that Thomas Hermes surfs like MR, and you actually start calling him, my God, here goes MR. I mean...
Well, he's known as a Brazilian MR.
Yeah. That was weird, wasn't it? You had a weird moment then.
I said he's got a wingspan on his cutback that is MR-esque.
Yeah, wow. That's something, that's one of those things that's going to haunt you, isn't it?
I think that's...
That's going to haunt you.
More of a reflection on spending 6 days in a 6 days in a box with you in New Zealand, that we're drinking those tiny little tin beers, about 400 of those a day. It shows what can happen.
Yeah,
that's what I said. That is the reflection of. Anyway, I'm saying I'm not that excited by that triumvirate, and the system needs to be changed.
Yeah,
Pop, you got that.
Virtue signalling from people who are sort of conspicuously lacking in virtue, Ben. And let me just explain that a little bit more.
Is this your monthly social media?
It's to do with social media. It's to do with people who post things on social media. Like, let me give you an example. Well, there's a guy that sort of surfs around here who really likes to take more than his fair share of waves. In fact, you can click on sort of several major surf company videos from the last few years and see him sort of dropping in on one or several of the stars, and he's posting this sort of anti-capitalist stuff on Facebook all about how the system's broken and it's all about sort of selfish and all that. I'm like, mate, sorry, does this apply to your sort of your wave count as well? This whole kind of thing about sort of shared resources and the tragedy of the commons and all these kind of rethinks about this sort of stuff, because it just sort of seems very inconsistent with the way you act in sort of the water. And I mean, there's another guy who sort of a sort of similar ilk actually, and he's always posting stuff about yoga and releasing the self from the ego, and then guys literally will drop in on, well, me a lot, but just anyone. I mean, he's literally like a sort of 7 year old sort of wanting all the sweets when he's in the surf, and yet becomes this kind of sort of vaguely sort of Asiatic wise old sort of selfless sage when he's on his social media. I just think, fuck off, idiots. Who are you trying to fool in this? Presumably anyone's friends with you on Facebook seeing you surfing, and you're like, I mean, you couldn't think of a more sort of selfish, childish sort of pursuit than claiming to be the kind of like the hard man or the sort of, you know, the local big shot and taking all the waves. I mean, whatever. It's just, that's, listen, if they want to act like that in the surf, that's fine. I don't, whatever. I just think they're bell ends. But don't fucking start sort of moralising at me on me Facebook as well. I mean, that is a bridge too far. And also, just quickly, Godfather 1 and 2, absolute dog shit. I watched them both the other day. Terrible films. Awful acting. Marlon Brando, shit.
Oh, can I add, well, while we're on that subject of pursuit films, Proximity, Taylor Steele's movie. I mean, I think way back in the original Moan at Mondays was a guy called Billy, I think, who just went to town on Taylor for one of his earlier films, but he won't be happy with the new one. I mean, he's got like Kelly Slater, Shane, my mate Shane, Stephanie Gilmore, Dave Rastovich, John Feinstein, and it's supposed to be some type of documentary. You do not learn a single fucking thing about any of those surfers. And it's just that sort of overstretched narrative. Like, yeah, if they just go and surf, and just go surfing. Good.
That's okay.
In a fucking pub and island and expecting some friggin' like life story that, or some moments of magic from them, because A, you don't have the skills, and B, they don't care. So anyway, yeah, Proximity.
Okay, well, while I'm in a free-for-all just shoehorning in loads of bads, it's the last podcast of the year. Also, cunts going on about fucking hemp all the time on Facebook, and like, dudes, get over. Like, you like getting high, yeah? I used to like getting high. don't anymore. But let's not pretend that you're just generally interested in this plant because you think it's amazing. You just like it because you get high. Why do I not get on about how good it is for making rope and how brilliant it is for curing everything in the world? Like, whatever. Like, are you trying to kid? We all know. You like it because it makes you feel funny. You're not going on about sort of waxing lyrical about the sort of restorative powers of tahini and going on about fucking sesame and how much calcium it's got in it and, you know, unsaturated fats, are you? Is you literally going on about weed because you get high and it heightens your appreciation of music, films, and gives you the munchies and makes you laugh. All right? Let's just call it like it is and stop pretending that... Oh, no, that's just a coincidence. No, I generally just think it's a really amazing plant. No, I'm just really interested in the plant itself.
I just like the rope.
Yeah.
Okay, now, before we end this up, this is the ultimate question. Good or bad question for you, Paul.
Hmm.
Is snake tails, the year, the whole year's worth of snake tails, good or bad?
Terrible. Sacred cow. Look, we've had Oki, he's in the abattoir. We've had France, it's in the abattoir. Hung upside down and the blood has dripped out halal style. The abattoir slaughterman has pulled the mercy lever. He's removed the hair from the hide, done all those sort of things that happen in abattoirs. Sorry, I'm getting a bit sidetracked there. But yeah, sacred cow. It's my turn to nominate this time, this episode. And well, we've talked a little bit about it already, Ben. It's something that is sort of lauded in general. It's an event, or rather a series of events. And I'd like to nominate, as this episode's sacred cow, the Vans Triple Crown of Surfing.
Sacred cow! Second most coveted trophy in surfing.
Yeah, that's interesting. That is really interesting. Let's look into that, shall we? So they're saying after a world title, it's the best thing to win. Is it really though? Would you rather win the Triple Crown? I mean, like Griffin Colapinto just won, or did he get fourth in Haliva, second at Sunset, fuck all at Pipe, won the Vans Triple Crown. He basically made two finals in QS events in kind of very average surf. Is that better than winning a CT? Is that better than winning like Chopu? And winning like you know, for example, the AI Forever Award like Jeremy did that year at Chopu? Is it better than winning the Pipe Masters? Is it better than winning the Eddie?
The Eddie's a bit different. The Eddie's so rare. I mean, it's rare. He adds value.
I'm going to come on to that, Ben.
You ask all those surfers. All those surfers say that it is.
I think they're lying. I'm not sure if they really mean that. I think it's just one of those platitudes that we pour out. Let me ask you this: how many Triple Crowns has Slater won? One. Well, I'll answer it. One. So he's the greatest surfer of all time. He's the greatest North Shore surfer in terms of contests of all time. He's never won the Triple Crown because he doesn't fucking enter it because he hates Sunset.
He's scared of it. He's scared of Sunset.
See, he hates Sunset. He's not a particular fan
he's
of Halle either.
Scared of those West Peaks.
And that just goes to show a guy who's sort of put so much into pro surfing down the years can't even be fucked to show up and surf a couple of heats at Sunset because that's what he thinks of the Triple Crown. And I think it's one of those things where they should only really have it if the surf's above a certain size. It should be a little bit more like the Eddie, where it's like Triple Crown if conditions are like classic Hawaiian and it really becomes like something sort of real special.
That's not a bad point.
It's a great point. Thanks. Thanks, Ben.
But like in the Big Wave Tour, they have points depending on the size. You get more points. So you could do that if it's over 10 foot at Sunset, then you get 1.5 times the normal points. I get that but I just think that it's Hawaii as a surfing hub, as a true test of a surfer, is still important. No one that hasn't done their time hasn't won a Triple Crown.
Yeah, but who isn't good on them? Everyone's good on the North Shore. Everyone does their time. They go there when they're about 5 years old now. Look, Leo went there and he's about seven. Like, they all go there so young. It's not like the 70s where you sort of show up a pro already and then sort of paddle out a pipe at 25. They've all been going there since before they had pubes anyway. I mean, everyone's good everywhere.
Yeah, but some love it more than others. Some love it. Some like.
Yeah, Geordie's scared of Big Pipe. We know that, but Geordie's amazing at Sunset. So whatever.
Yeah, he could
easily win the Triple Crown because you only need two decent results, dude. That's why I'm saying I don't really think it kind of means what it sort of feels like it means. Emotionally, it sounds prestigious, but realistically, is it? I think there should only be a Triple Crown year if it's 10-foot Hawaiian plus at all three events. Otherwise, it's just an event. They're just three different events.
Yeah, I get all that, but then when you look at the winners, all guys are the real deal in Hawaii. Gabe Medina, John Florence twice already, Parco three times, Beat Durbridge, Andy Irons, Sonny Garcia. I mean, that's a pretty strong list. And
classics like Mike Ramelsi, yeah, just real, real standouts of the North Shore.
It's been going for 30 years. There's going to be the odd... Yeah, the odd exception.
Yeah, Slater's won the same amount as Bede.
Derek Ho, Michael Ho. I mean, Tom Carroll. I mean, these are all names that have put in their time in Hawaii and have been successful in Hawaii. And the Triple Crown's the best and current way of treating it. And there's history, Paul. You just can't throw out. The part of the allure, like most things, is there's tradition, there's history. It's been going for a long time, this. And that's what gives it... You think that winning the fucking MEO Mosh fucking Mobile Pro and shitty Panisse is worth more than that? When there's got 35 years of fucking of history of some of the best Hawaiian surfers putting on the line.
No, I'm not saying any CT win is better than a Triple Crown win, but I'm saying some CT wins can be better than some Triple Crown wins. I'm not saying... All of the Triple Crown wins aren't great. Some of them are epic and legendary.
It's all very vague.
And when you go back in time...
Some of this, some of that, some could be,
yeah,
was.
That's exactly it. When you go back in time and you think of some of the big surf...
When you go back in time.
Some of the big surf and you go, wow, for sure. But I'm just saying these days, I don't think so. I mean, when's Haleiwa last real solid? There was like one day a couple of years ago. But Haleiwa's quite often... under head high in the final, isn't it? Is that really sort of Triple Crown legendary type stuff? Probably not. I'm not sure about it.
This tells a story. If you want sacrifice the Triple Crown and pull the mercy lever, pull the mercy bolt through the bovine's fucking brains, you're going to have to tap those winners with it. And I am not prepared to do that.
Okay, well, Ben, listen, I guess once again we're not going to reach agreement on this. I'm not going to succeed in getting through, sort of falling on deaf ears, my very well-reasoned points. Let's flip, mate. So let's go with heads, put it out to pasture, tails, it's in the abattoir. Then heads, Triple Crown stays, it's going out to pasture, it's going to eat some green, green grass, possibly on that field opposite Lanikea under that tree with those horses. It's going to have that green, green grass. And
nice.
It's going to live out the rest of its natural life and has escaped the sharp, glistening blades of the slaughterhouse. Okay, well, it's time to resurrect. Well, we've had a little break from Moan at Monday, but I'm very happy to announce, and so is Ben, that it's back. And we've got Gordon on the line, and he's calling from somewhere in the UK. Where are you calling from, Gordon?
I'm calling from Batursia.
Okay, well, you're through to Monday. Would you like to welcome Gordon to the show and ask him what he wants to moan about?
Yeah, welcome, Gordon. Good to have you on board, buddy. And, what have you got to moan about? Get it off your chest. Hit me.
I just wanted to kind of get in touch, really, about the sort of disgrace that was Chris Burkhardt's Under an Arctic Sky, really. I don't know if you guys had heard of that film coming out.
Yeah, I think we're media partners, actually, Gordon.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. Just to sort of summarise, basically...
Yeah, I've seen it. Go ahead. Summarise it for our listeners, though, please, Gordon.
Yeah, well, basically, there's a lot of hype, sort of, you know, 6 to 8 months worth of hype over this new amazing surf film being shot in Iceland by the famous Chris Burkhardt. And I shelled out my £20 I quickly had to go and watch this film. And essentially, it was a rip-off, Mundy. I mean, there was, you know, the film was sort of half an hour, 40 minutes long or whatever. And there were probably 90 seconds to 2 minutes of surfing in the whole film, which was just kind of embarrassing, really, for him and the sort of surf community that were waiting to see this film. Basically, it was a kind of overfunded A-level photography trip, really. And they sort of produced some kind of average shots of the Northern Lights with some pretty terrible surfing with some sort of not very well-known surfers, really. And then to top it off, Burkhardt was stood outside the cinema flogging his own merchandise because, you know, he sort of made 20 quid ahead on sort of the 500 people coming in for the first viewing that evening. I mean, there was a second viewing that evening. I mean, so what's that? 20 quid times 500 times 2? Yeah, I mean, that's sort of one, you know, that's an afternoon's work for Chris Burkhardt. And then, sort of, yeah, on top of that, selling kind of sort of fridge magnets and whatever other shit he was selling.
Okay, good. All right, so what? What's your main gripe with the movie? That it's just a bad movie, or that it's false advertising and that you paid 20 quid for? What? You must have seen bad movies before. Why has this one got you goat so much?
Well, you know, I think they used sort of almost... 100% of the surfing in the trailer to make it look like it's going to be a surf film. And, you know, I think as well what kind of pissed me off a little bit was how much they kind of went on about how cold it was. I mean, they were the ones that got on the plane to Iceland. I mean, no one asked them to go there. And, you know, if you go there sort of in winter, it's probably going to be quite cold. And if you want to go surfing, yeah, it's probably going to be quite cold. So sort of get on with it and stop filming each other sat in the back of a Land Rover drinking sort of watery tea and not going surfing.
Okay, can I just...
I've been on record before, Gordon, as saying that just because a fucking waves in front of a snow-capped mountain, it doesn't mean shit. It's still a 2-foot piece of shit wave. So, I'm kind of feeling this gripe. Kind of feeling the whole. I think the surfing in front of snow thing's been done about 10 years ago.
I've had some information actually passed to me by our producer, who said that also, Giles. I think there's a Q&A. There was a Q&A with Burkhardt after. You actually asked a question. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so, I mean, of course, because the sort of narcissistic Chris Burkhardt didn't have enough airtime during his sort of 40 minutes of on-screen self-promotion. He sort of got up in the flesh on stage and decided to do a bit of Q&A. And, you know, because it was basically... I mean, I was sort of one of maybe sort of 3.5 surfers in the sort of out of 500
had you,
of people.
Sorry, I'm just setting the scene. Had you had a couple of drinks?
I may have had like a shandy.
Okay, carry on.
Yeah, I mean, what? I mean, it was a Saturday night in sort of East London, whatever. But yeah, no, he got up on the stage and basically he had all these people asking him these sort of weird photography questions, like what millimeter lens were you using during this shot?
Wankers. And how
many legs has your tripod got? You know, sort of classic questions like that. So I sort of thought I'd bring him down a couple of pegs. Microphone came to me and I piped up and I asked him, where do you keep your tomato ketchup, fridge or cupboard? And he was stunned. He, you know, that sort of put him on the back foot a little bit. 50-50 question, and he got it wrong. He went with fridge.
What a dick.
Yeah, I mean, who does that?
Right. Okay, all right. I'm starting to feel... I'm starting to get a bit of a handle on you now, Gordon. I think... I think there's some sort of history here of you and Burkhardt, but that's kind of beside the point, I think.
It's a good moan. Very good moan.
It's a very good moan. It was in person. You saw it live. You felt it. You don't agree with it. I can totally get where you're coming from. I can totally see your angst. Do you still follow Chris on Instagram, or have you taken that drastic step and have unfollowed him, Gordon?
No, I'm still 100% a big fan, and I will still go to every premiere that he, you know, if he's passing through London again, I'm more than happy to pay my sheets to go there.
Have you got anything else on your mind, Gordon? My producer has also led me to believe there's one or two other things that you're not too happy with.
Yeah, funny you mention that, Paul Evans. I've got a bit of a list here. obviously, the sort of Pipeline Masters, as Bondi Pipeline Masters, that famous surfing competition, has just come to a close. And, you know, I'm a big fan of the brand Billabong, who's sponsored it. But I'm just not sure if, you know, they should be using a sort of punk rock, hard rock legend Iggy Pop to be selling their board shorts. I'm not sure how I feel about that. You know, I mean, Raw Power by Iggy Pop is one of my favourite songs of all time, but hearing it sort of every 5 minutes on the webcast,
they ruined it forever.
They've just put another slant on it, a weird WSL sort of vibe on the song, but you know. What do you guys think of that?
Shit, absolutely hated its guts. Terrible business.
Well,
sorry if I...
We talked about this before, Gordon. I can feel where you're coming from, but I'm a massive Iggy Pop fan, one of his greatest fans. I love him. I'm liking Iggy's payday, but I do agree, just quite what a 70-year-old man, how he appeals to the youth culture is another point. See you, Gordon.
Cheers. Keep it real, boys.
Cheers, Gordon.
Cheers, bye.
Gordon, yeah, he's passionate. He's posh and he's passionate. Are two of my favourite things.
Yeah, and, he hates Burkhardt, doesn't he? Bloody hell.
Yeah, he perked up. He doesn't like Burkhardt, does he? I've seen the movie. I know Benny Wyland's a mate of mine who helped make it, but I can kind of see where he's coming from. I didn't pay £20 to see it. I just saw it online. So be it. And yeah, the Iggy thing, I think we've touched on Paul already. So, but it's a valid point. Yeah, it's good to have the moaners back. I've been missing them.
Oh, it's great to have the moaner Monday back. It's like other people are moaning about surfing, not just us. I love to hear other people complaining. Yeah. It's brilliant.
Just a fresh take on a moan.
Oh, just some fresh hate from, you know, coming in from the different voices. Just another moaner. Okay, Ben, it's time now for, one of my own personal favourite parts of the show, partly because I'm so good at it. It's time where we test our knowledge of the surf world and also enlighten our fans out there. It's Podcaster Mastermind. So last time out, I smashed you. I was on the life and times of Robbie Page, and I showed just how very much I know about Pagey. So I'm still on that topic, and you had to nominate a new topic, and you've gone for...
Triple Crown of Surfing, the Ooh. Annual Hawaiian, as we've talked about.
Yeah, juicy. It's a juicy, very topical, so brilliant. It's all coming together perfectly. Well, as the defending champ, it's my honour, and I think I'll ask the questions first. I think I'll ask first and receive second. So, Ben, you've got five of the best on the Triple Crown of Surfing. Those questions start now. Which surfer has the most Triple Crown wins?
Sonny Garcia.
Correct. 6 wins for Big Sonny. Okay, question 2. Ben, between 1992 and 2006... inclusive, only 2 non-Hawaiian surfers won the Triple Crown. Name those surfers.
Well, not 2006. Beat Durbridge was 2007.
So not him. Yes.
So he's not in.
Yep.
I know Michael Ramelsi, the Avalon Goofy Footer.
Correct. There's one. Yep. Classic North Shore standout.
Famously. And
Kelly Slater would have won one in there somewhere. He's only won one, hasn't he? Or two.
There you go.
Won one.
Well done, Ben. I mean, we've actually talked about that already on this podcast, so well done for
that. That did help my cause, I must admit. But I knew it anyway.
Just on that note, Ivan Tanyong, the filmer from Indo, Rizal's brother, who came on a trip to the Mentalize that we did, said that my surfing reminded him of Michael Ribelsi, which I'm really, really pleased about.
Michael Ribelsi would be spinning in his grave.
poor guy, I felt really bad for him. Okay, Ben, question three. Which year was a winner?
Is that why you asked that question?
Yeah, exactly. Just dying to get that anecdote in. Which year was women's division introduced to the Triple Crown?
When did they first go to Maui, I suppose? They started competing there. Oh, 2009?
It's incorrect, Ben. It was obviously 1997 when Leon Beachley joined Mike Ribelsi on the podium. There he is again. So you're two from three. Which pair of men and women defended their titles simultaneously? So basically, as a men and women's champ, and they both won it again the next year. Who were they?
See, my crown knowledge is obviously... I should have dictated it was a men's
It's crown. As misogynistic as your general outlook on life is what you're saying. Your sort of sexism is consistent.
Okay. It's just that Lane Beachley and Andy Irons.
It's incorrect. Joel Parkinson and Stephanie Gilmore. You're two from four. Fifth and final question. This could be vital for you. Yeah, the current sponsor of the Triple Crown is Vans. Vans Triple Crown. It's been sponsored by G-Shock in the past. Which energy drink sponsor has also sponsored the Triple Crown?
Oh, Rockstar.
It's incorrect. It's Red Dog.
You just get away from this quiz. You just get away from all that's meaningful about surfing and just go down like shitty rabbit holes.
What are we on about? It's a fucking the umbrella sponsor of the whole thing. This is your specialist subject. They sponsored the event. That's not really a rabbit hole, is it?
Sponsored it once and when?
96. A classic. Absolute classic. The Red Dog.
You're killing this segment slightly. Anyway.
The Red Dog Triple Crown of Surfing, an absolute classic, mate, 96.
And that was, like, supposedly the easier round, was it, those questions?
Yeah.
My first round.
Well, two of the answers we've already even discussed in this podcast.
Yeah, mate, you're like those Pommy. There's only one team playing cricket here. There's only one team playing cricket at the moment. And it's not you guys. Classic bodyline quote. Anyway.
Okay, Ben, I'm ready to receive.
We're talking about Robbie Page's next five questions. Can you name five surfboard sponsors that Robbie's had in his entire career?
Is this for 1 point?
Yeah.
Is that a joke? Or is this for all five?
Point two of a point each.
Can I name five surfboard sponsors? Well, obviously Burn.
Correct.
Classic, the yellow, classic yellow birds and Paging. I'm going to go with Terry Richardson. That was like his sort of hero and his mentor. Richo? When he was a kid?
No.
Well, I bet he was, but I'm going to go with the Willis brothers in Hawaii.
No.
Wow. Yeah. I'm going to go with Cream Surfboards, the German guy, Bufo.
I'm going to give you that, actually.
Bufo, they came out with Cream Surfboards. It was... the guy's called Bufo from Germany, maybe.
Yeah, I'll give you that. That's on his own LinkedIn list, which is
Bonaparte. Okay, let's have... I don't know, go on then.
Skip Surfboards when he was a Grom. Quite famous, he rode Skip for a long time. Ed Sinnott, another South Coast legend. Hydroflex and ESP surfboards. Anyway.
Yeah, Hydroflex is Bufo, basically, but yeah. Anyway.
Obviously, Robbie Page has in the last sort of decade, discovered his indigenous roots in Australia. Where is he from? What's his people? Where does his indigenous roots come from?
I don't know.
Sure. The Dungati people from Kempsey. So I thought you would have known that. When was probably Robbie Page's last major trophy? Sorry, what category was Robbie Page's last major trophy?
So do you want to know when or do you want to know what it was?
What it was, what category?
When you say major, did he win the ISA Masters?
Yeah, but what category was it?
What do you mean? It's the Masters.
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
No, it was the Grand Masters category.
You dick. You're such a dick.
I know, they're very different. One's over 45, one's over 40.
Yeah.
In that final, as you well remember, in the Grand Masters final, who did Robbie Page beat? Came second.
Magu De La Rosa.
That's right.
What?
That is correct.
Are you serious?
That is fucking a fluke, but it is correct.
That is amazing.
Homegrown fucking hero.
No way, Magu De La Rosa, legend. How's that?
Fair play. We obviously talked in the last podcast about
so hang on, this is
Robbie winning the Pipe Masters.
This is to tie, right? This is the fifth question.
1988. What was significant about that 1988 Pipe Masters?
Well, what do you mean? What's significant about it? What does that mean?
Well, it holds a special place in Pipeline Masters and Surfing history. What is it?
What's the year that Pagey won? I mean, not...
No, that's not significant. He was the winner.
What's significant to him, I would argue. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about it. But, yeah, your questions are shit. What's significant about it? It was the anniversary.
No, it was the last time that it wasn't a world title decider. So, Pipe Masters in 1989, it moved to the end of the calendar year. So, 1988 was the last year that the Pipe Masters wasn't the final event of the year. So, unfortunately, I can't give you that one, Paul.
That's very... That's very dubious indeed. I mean, what's significant about it? I mean, the waves were tiny. It could literally be anything. Really
significant.
Yeah, I think the surf world, what the surf has learned is that the sort of gaps in your knowledge of subjects you claim to be an expert on is equaled by your sort of shocking lack of sort of question making.
Okay, so do I win that?
Yeah, you can have that 2-1, even though one of my questions had required 5 answers. But yeah, I'll let you have that. You're going to get 5 more on the Triple Crown, and I'm going to have to nominate a new topic. My specialist subject is going to be Lord Ted Deerhurst, the Earl of Coventry.
I'll look forward to researching Lord Ted.
And I'll look forward to researching 5 hard-as-fucking-nails Triple Crown questions.
Der Surf Europa Podcast.
Strong show, Ben. Great show to round out 2017. It's been a good year.
It's been a great year, Paul. We really enjoyed our time together. Yeah. I think we've covered a lot of ground, both personal and public, and I think probably surfing's better off for it.
Yeah, don't forget, fans, leave a review on iTunes or other podcast capture applications, tell a friend about the podcast, and enjoy yourselves. Happy New Year.
Get a dog up yours.